Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
And welcome back to another edition of Gopher Gridiron Radio, your National Signing Day edition. National Signing Day is just after the season now? Yes, welcome to the glorious thing that is the college football calendar. You've got coaching carousel going around. And oh, by the way, just 72 hours, 96 hours after the Gophers retained Paul Bunyan's axe, they now have to get their signing day class across the dotted line. And joining me, like he has the last few years, is a comedian, self-proclaimed. Now, he did open for Dave Chappelle, which if I have to hear that story from him one more time about his glory days of opening for Chappelle, but he's also one of my best friends in this profession. It is the Alan True, Midwest czar himself. Alan, did I lay out the flowers for you enough, or do you need to relive your glory days one last time?
I didn't open for Chappelle is the thing. I was asked to and couldn't do it. So it was a miss. When you do your signing day superlatives, and there, I think there's a biggest miss in there. That's the one I put down for my career.
Well, you just wanted to be able to relive with him one of my, first of all, I was a big Chappelle Show guy growing up, which I had to have been in middle school when I learned about the Chappelle Show and started watching it. Can't imagine my folks really knew what I was watching for some of those skits where they're incredibly funny if you go back. Now, I don't know that they've aged as well as they have, probably 20 years, Alan, but we are big Dave Chappelle fans on this podcast, aren't we?
I credit that show for helping me understand and laugh about racial differences, and it's really helped me in my career. And I believe it's why we have such a good friendship, is that I understand our cultural differences.
Yeah, you can't get much different from you to me. But when you look at this recruiting class for Minnesota, is they got 31 guys as we sit here recording at less than 24 hours from National Signing Day. The reason I'm having us record this is, my understanding from talking to the powers that be on 15th Street or 15th Avenue there in Dinkytown is I'm not expecting much change. So we wanted to be able to get this out to you on the morning of National Signing Day. But one of the things before we even get into the names and things like that is I know I've gotten a lot of questions from listeners because this thing continues to get more complicated every year. So when you look at this recruiting class, even compared to the last one, not just the names we'll get to, but the challenges that this class has had with the transfer portal now eating into spots, the moving up of a National Signing Day, which I think historically this would be 2 weeks later. What's been kind of your advice to, because that's one of the things I get all the time from parents is, what's your advice to how we should navigate the recruiting process? What do you think are the biggest differences for this class compared to some of the other ones that we've covered over in our time?
Yeah, it's funny you say traditionally it's 2 weeks later. Traditionally, it's 2 months later, and then we moved it 2 weeks later. So now things move very quickly, which so for my advice for parents, first of all, a lot of them try to say that the portal and the calendar isn't advantageous to high school recruiting. And I think that's a little bit of a myth. It's not advantageous if you have your expectations set really high right now. The great thing about the portal is your recruitment never really ends, right? So I think more than ever, if you can get in, wherever you can get in, you have the chance to play yourself into better positions. Before, if you signed, that was kind of it. You were pretty stuck. I mean, you weren't completely stuck, but it's not like now. So my advice is to, I think more than ever, the advice was always to not choose a school because of the logo. I think that's more true than ever today. You do have to get started earlier. You know, camps going into your junior year become important. I think putting together good film your junior year, who does senior evals anymore? I think there's still a place for that to an extent, which we'll talk about in this Minnesota class with some guys that they were able to find late in the cycle. Your buddies down the road in Ames just offered a kid this morning in the 26th class that had zero FBS offers until now. So it can still happen here and there, but I think my advice for parents is, you know, just with the portal, if you feel like the portal makes you lose opportunities when you're in high school, the portal presents way more opportunities once you're past high school. So I think in the end, it's a net positive if I'm a high school recruit.
Well, I'm making the decision in my head here to bear the brunt of what I know is going to be some angry phone calls sent to me when I say this, but I'm at the point where after a long season and a long day of writing or last 48 hours, I'm going to make the following statement, and you can agree or disagree with it. But one of the things that parents tell me all the time is, you know, we got to move to bigger high schools to be seen. We also have to get these advisors and these agents and these, I don't even know what you want to call them in this day and age. But here's my thoughts on that from doing this for 15 years is I know who I talk to. Oh, good for me. Where it's Big Ten schools, it's Missouri Valley schools, it's Northern Sun schools. I mean, you have it covered there from the Mountain West to the MAC, to the Big Ten, to D2s, okay? I don't know that I've ever had in my 15 years of covering recruiting a single college coach ever ask me about 7-on-7, which that's one of the other things I get told all the time, is my kids got to go to this and things of that nature. Now, again, you deal with a more broader landscape. I deal with the state of Minnesota, where historically there's not a lot of skilled position guys that come out of this state. But the other one is we need to move our kid or we need to get this recruiting advisor. That is the most insane thing to me because in this day and age of where every recruit tape is accessible by typing in, say, Allen True Huddle, which is HUDL. It's the highlight platform that essentially everyone uses. I know, like I said, I'm going to get some angry phone calls from those people who are either 7-on-7 guys or recruiting czar agent people. But what would be your response to my little mini rant there?
The thing that I always say is, like, my son's probably not going to play college football. But if he was, like, I don't think I would have my kid in 7-on-7. And this is as somebody who is around this all the time. Not maybe for the purpose of my kid wanted to do it to play and have something to do in the off season, then yes. and wanted to maybe play with some kids that he doesn't get to play with and see some national competition as a recruiting tool, I would not put my eggs in that basket. Because I don't think, and I think one of the most overrated, overused, overhyped words in the entire process is exposure. People are always, how do we get exposure? Do we need exposure? I'm like, well, what does that exactly mean, even? You know, what does exposure mean? A bunch of articles written about you? I think with social media now, you create your own exposure to an extent. And as long as a college coach finds out about you, which a lot of the time they find out about you because somebody emailed them or texted them or DM'd them a huddle link, not because they saw you on some viral video. I think exposure is not, I think exposure is way overrated. Recruiting advisors, you know, I probably share mostly the same opinion as you, although I think now if you are it depends on who you are. If you're a top kid now and you're trying to navigate, you know, millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars in NIL money, then maybe you do need somebody with some experience in contracts and negotiating with schools. But for your average high school recruit who's just trying to pick up some offers and make a decision, probably don't need that. What was the last piece to that? Oh, all that stuff. People say the same thing to me of like, well, he didn't get ranked because he's not at this school, or he plays in the wrong state, or he didn't go to this camp or that camp. Like that is not as important in the process of getting ranked as everyone thinks. It is not we need to see you at a camp. People, and to that extent, this camp myth, people are always saying, well, he's not ranked high because he didn't go to one of your 24/7 camps. I explain on a daily basis probably that we don't actually run any camps. So that tells you how many people are misinformed to say, well, is this because he didn't go to your camp? And I'm like, I don't have a camp. Neither does the company. And then you look at the top of this Minnesota class. I mean, Howie Johnson's from Forest Lake. Roman Voss is from Jackson County Central. Aiden H is from Lafayette Jefferson. Those are good high school programs. But if you ask the average person to name five high school programs in Indiana and in Minnesota, those schools don't come out of their mouths right away, probably, right? So this Minnesota class is a great example of you can be found anywhere. Janesville, Parker, they go get Gabe Weaver out of St. Louis, but it's at Mary Institute in Country Day. It's not, you know, I've heard of the school, but it's not one of the probably preeminent programs you think of in St. Louis. Racine St. Catharines, I've actually been to that school, but that's not a
Southeast Wisconsin. You, stand up. I married a Kenosha girl. Well aware.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, like, if you look at this class, it's not like they're all coming from, they were found and ranked highly despite not being at like huge giant public schools in their states.
Yeah. Again, there's so much more I almost want to get into with you, but I know time is limited. I know attention spans are limited. It's a whole different podcast of just trying to give advice to parents and recruits navigating the whole thing. I agree with you that maybe the most important data point now is junior tape, because that gets you on the radar, which then gets you into spring evals, which then gets you into summer camps at these institutions, which I think more and more every year. I mean, live evaluation is something that I feel like is gaining more and more steam. Agree or disagree?
Yep. I think live evaluation early. I think by the time you're a senior, it's tough. And live evaluation in other arenas. How many college coaches do you know that go sit in basketball gyms
a lot
all winter, or wrestling meets, or are looking at track times? I think a lot of the time now, if you want to talk about exposure, that's your exposure. I've heard kids, you and I have both heard of some guy running a fast 100, and that does way more for their recruitment than going to a 7-on-7.
400%, which is why multi-sport athletes, and I don't know how many more times college coaches have to have it come out of their mouth or you and me talk about it, but that point right there, I think, is the one I want to end on before we actually get into names, is if you are a skilled position kid and you run really well, or you have a great high jump or a long jump, that is going to get you on more recruiting radars than it would be going to XYZ camp more times than not. Now, again, school camps in the summer are very, very different than what we're talking about. Or if you're a big hog molly up front, offensive and defensive line, and you want to go be like Howie Johnson and go throw a shot put 60-something feet, again, you know what it looks like on tape in terms of strength, but then to have that match up with track times or track throws, I mean, that is one of the most important things, I think, is if you want to go play baseball too, that's fine. But if you're looking for a sport to add, go run or go throw.
100%. And if you don't trust us, go look at NFL rosters and see how many of those big linemen were forwards or throwers. It's almost all of them, or wrestlers, and how many skill guys ran track. You almost cannot find an NFL receiver or a DB who didn't participate in some sort of track or other sport.
All right, so let's get into the state of Minnesota, kids. The Gophers are going to be signing three here on Wednesday, the top three rated players in the state of Minnesota. Now, before we actually talk about Howie Johnson, Roman Voss, Andrew Trout, I do want to put the disclaimer out there that for these rankings, we did have some changes behind the scenes at 24/7 Sports, where there's different people doing rankings evaluations. There's people that have been cut out in the process. And even I had the question posed to me on Gopher Illustrated today. Well, hey, guys, historically, you guys have ranked 30-plus kids in the state of Minnesota. This year, there's only 14. I would tell you that's part of the reshuffling amongst the 24/7 deck. So I will tell you, just for me personally, and this is, again, not necessarily a shot, but just transparency, I didn't have very much say in a lot of these rankings, especially as the senior evals went on. Alan, any thoughts and feelings before we get into that?
Yeah, I would say the other piece to that is that if you've noticed, we've not just us, I think as an industry, we've gone away from having two stars. I don't think anybody gives them anymore. So that certainly cuts out the, that cuts that list in half, because that was a lot of the gap you're talking about between 14 and 30, 40, 50 in other years was us putting two stars on the bottom of that list. And I think there's a little bit of a process right now between all the sites, not just us, of is it worth the time to spend doing that? And then people turn around and go, oh, well, you just had him as a two star, and look at Khalil Mack, you morons. And so I think that there's the cost benefit analysis on that doesn't turn out real well. I'm an advocate for it, because I think it's, you're just going to miss. But I think I hope that eventually the industry kind of goes back to that. But that's where we're at right now, is just the amount of time and effort to then have people kind of scoff at those rankings. It's been decided that we're going to stop short of the depth we used to go to.
All right, so let's start at the top, which in the 24/7 Sports rankings and the number one player just in general in this Gopher class, Howie Johnson, the pride of Forest Lake, Minnesota. I think I've been talking to you about Howie Johnson since he was probably a sophomore, which was when he got on my radar. And it's been a long recruiting journey for him. He earned his offer to go for camp, took it immediately, never wavered. And now I think he's about to end his career, or he has ended his career, as the state leader in sacks, tackles for loss. But when you look at Howie Johnson, Mr. True, what is there to like?
I use a lot of cliches here, but I mean, he is one of those guys where you turn on the film and he does actually look like he's like shot out of a cannon. I mean, the guy's explosiveness off the ball and into the backfield, you see why he has so many tackles for loss and is setting records with negative plays in the backfield, because he's by the opposing offensive line before a lot of them even have a chance to get out of their stance. And that is explosiveness. That's twitch, the same explosiveness, twitch, strength that's allowed him to be a great thrower. And some of it's also just pure tenacity. And so you combine those aspects and you have a four-star, really good player, impact guy. I think the thing that I'm interested to see with him as far as his development in college is just how much weight can he hold. He's a guy that I think, with his style of play, doesn't need to be 320 to be effective. So I think they'll find a good weight for him. And I think he's always going to be a guy who's a little bit maybe in between positions, but is going to be able to be effective at moving around, and doesn't need to be this guy who I just don't look at him and see a guy who you need to pile tons and tons of weight on.
No, to me, he is going to be what the hope is one of the best pass rushing three techniques Minnesota's had in the Fleck era, where I don't know that he'll get north of 280, 85 pounds. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. but that gives you a lot of flexibility to play him in a three technique, or maybe on early downs, you put him outside to five technique. Find a way to get him on the field, because we talk about track data points. You see the tape, and then you want to know, well, he looks real strong, and then he's one of the best shot put throwers in the state. And you want to have as many data points to align to what your beliefs are with a certain player. And to me, Howie Johnson has been a no-brainer for a very long time. But that's the hope for Howie, for someone like me, is give him a redshirt year, let him add another 20 pounds, and then unleash him, hopefully, on passing downs earlier in his career. Well, that next leads us to the Jackson County Central monster that is Mr. 10,000 total yards, Roman Voss. You and I, again, Roman Voss is someone that had a recruiting process that went national. It started with Minnesota, then went to Iowa and Wisconsin, got national to places like USC, Alabama, gets down to Bama and the Gophers at the very end, and the Gophers went out. Now, one of the things that people always love to say is, well, why did the Gophers land Roman Voss? They don't have much to do with tight end development, like, say, someone like Caleb DeBoer is. I would encourage Gopher fans who are listening to this, or if you have people telling you that, Brevin Spanford caught a touchdown just a couple of weeks ago for the Dallas Cowboys. Nick Kallerup blocked for a touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings just this past Sunday. And Ko Kief is now still in the NFL after a handful of years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's on IR. But there have been development with Gopher tight ends. And Roman Voss, to me, Alan, gives them a Swiss Army knife where you can play him out wide. You can play him in the slot. You can line him up hand in the dirt. He can play some H. I think he is a great tool for Greg Harbaugh to try and figure out. But what's your Roman Voss thoughts?
First, as far as like recruiting goes, you know, he had legitimate offers from Alabama,
yes,
Miami. And so it's a really, really good recruiting win. Also, early in his recruitment, if you had told me he was going to the Big Ten, would have thought Wisconsin or Iowa. Probably.
Heck, I would even have thought, but it was, to me, if you were to have told me the moment Minnesota offered, and I think even if you asked some people in southern Minnesota, they still can't believe he ended up at Minnesota. I would have said Iowa or Nebraska back then, but the amount of legwork and time and energy that Fleck, Greg Harbaugh, Eric Kaler put into Voss is, to me, the story of his recruitment. But I know I'm stealing your thunder here.
Oh, no, all good. And in fact, I started writing your signing day superlatives that you sent me. And for that reason, I think he's the best win in this class, because even though he's an in-state kid, I'm not sure people realized how much Minnesota had to work to get that one done. And they did work.
Yes.
Did a very good job there. As far as the player, I mean, look, this is another thing of like small town guy who's dominant in every category. You can't control who they put in front of you, but it's, you know, we've had a lot of guys in the Big Ten who fit this kind of profile of small town guy who's just this do-it-all athlete. Cooper DeJean is the last one I can kind of think of like this, where it's just like 100 career touchdowns, winning state titles.
What do you have against the Esko Eskimos for Coy Parrish that you can't even group in the pride of Southern Duluth there? Come on now, Alan, please.
You're asking me to pull names on the fly. But anyway, yeah, again, yes, Coy, another great example. Yep. You know, we talked about this earlier where you don't have to go to this big giant high school in metro area or what have you. Roman's a great example of that. I think for these guys, once they get into a college program, they can focus on one position. They get into strength and conditioning program. They're around other athletes that are similar to them. These guys tend to take off, and I think that's going to be the case with Roman Voss. I mean, I have sources at those schools down south. Those were not just – Bama was shocked. They're like, what is going on up there? I know that they watched him around the same time. They watched some of the guys in the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm.
And even the younger guys like Luke Starsvich and Ben Heinick, and they're like, well, there are some jumbo athletes up there,
yeah,
that can really play, and they all have athletic backgrounds. They all do other sports that we talked about. Roman is the primary example of that. And so I think he's going to the right place to develop him too, because I know that in the past, like I've covered Mac and even some GLIAC football, And I've seen some of the guys that Greg Harbaugh and Eric Kaler and those guys have had, and they've developed this kind of athlete before.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see kind of how Minnesota is able to get him acclimated, because he is going to play basketball, so he'll be arriving this summer. But that's got to be priority one for Eric Kaler and Greg Harbaugh, is when he gets there in June, he gets to go on the Coy Parrish accelerated time frame, where you need to be ready from the moment you step foot on campus. So once you get done with basketball and we send you the college lifting guide, the college strength and conditioning guide, if you follow that to a T and hit the ground running, then yeah, I can see Roman Voss playing some snaps here as a true freshman in 26.
And on that note too, he's not a guy that right away, I think you can play him as a true freshman in some ways, because he doesn't have to know the whole offense. You can put in packages for this guy. You can play him at quarterback at times, right? You can play him in the backfield. You can do a lot of different things to get him touches without him having to know the entirety of the offense.
Now, the guy that, and I believe in Roman Voss as a four-star. I believe in Howie Johnson as a four-star. But if we're asking each other here to be transparent and honest, my bold take, I guess, now that he's been dropped to a three-star in 24/7 Sports here, is I think that Andrew Trout, the pride of Recorey, the pride of Cold Spring, Minnesota, he is the number one player in the state of Minnesota to me. Now, again, that's not trying to disparage Voss. That's not trying to disparage Howie Johnson. But my claim here, and I know it's not met from the company, is he is, and welcome to our life where we are grown men talking about teenage boys and many senses that doesn't make sense. But if I'm going to put on my Todd McShay hat here, he is the prettiest looking offensive lineman. And I think matches with the tape that I have seen or my own two eyes since Greg Johnson. And that's not meant to disparage someone like Emerson Mandel at Wisconsin, who started for them as a freshman, was just here in the Twin Cities doing so. But Andrew Trout is everything that you dream of an offensive tackle prospect. He is 6'7". He's got 34-inch arms. I mean, he's got all the different things that everybody and every offensive line coach that you talk to, I talk to, dream of. And that's what gets to be starting at tackle, whether left or right tackle, for 3-4 years in the Big Ten. So when we've been talking about Andrew Trout, now he committed almost 2 years ago at this point. That's how long he's been on the radar of the Gophers. I mean, what do you like when you think about Andrew Trout?
Yeah. So first, you know, I'm going to guess a little bit at the rankings drop again, not directly involved in that, but I think he's a little bit of a victim of early commitment and a guy who was so committed that like doesn't bother to put much out. Mm-hmm. As far as tape, you know, he's not some kids tag me in what they eat for breakfast. You know, this dude doesn't even make a highlight tape for 2 years. There's no, you know, workout clips. There's no those kinds of things. So it's been, I would say probably in trying to speak for our national staff a little bit, probably a little bit difficult to figure out what he's done the last couple of years. I ended up having, I pulled up some of the skill guys on his own team and watched that tape. Just kind of see what he looked like as a senior. But at any rate, you have a guy who on that tape, it was like this is the biggest, best guy on the field every time. But it's not just because he's bigger and stronger than everybody else. I thought he moved very well. I thought he could bend. That's a scouting buzzword, right? Every offensive line coach wants linemen that can bend.
Is that right, Mel Kiper?
That is, I have way better hair. But
yeah, okay, Fabio, with your long horse girl hair.
But I think he's got, again, all the tools. And we talked earlier about Roman Voss going into the right hands. I mean, Brian Callahan throughout his entire career has he's developed guys that had way less talent, I think, than Andrew Trout. Into really, really good players. And so I think he's got to be smiling, I think, about this whole offensive line class, but definitely that he was able to get Andrew committed and had him early. And they got him in camp early. So they really very comfortable with what they were getting in him at that early commitment point.
Yeah, it's such a no-brainer to me where we talk about floor, we talk about ceiling, and he's got the perfect combination of both to me. Yes, he's battled some injuries throughout his junior season, but he was healthy largely for the most part as a senior. Like, to me, he redshirts, and then you figure out a spot for him at right or left tackle and let him learn, let him grow, and that is the most no-brainer of them to me. Again, those are the top three kids in the state to me. I think we, and Minnesota being able to lock them down is certainly an interesting inflection point where another discussion point I know some fans wanted to have you give your national perspective on is just that, where I'm old enough to remember the days of Jerry Kill or Tracy Clays or even the early years of Fleck where the top kids in the state of Minnesota didn't stay in the state of Minnesota. And now you've seen whether it's Emmanuel Carmo, Coy Parrish, Blaze Andries, you look at now Howie Johnson, Roman Voss, Andrew Trout, they're staying here in the state of Minnesota. So when you see things like that, what's your reaction to the way Fleck's been able to kind of change the narrative?
I think it's incredible because I actually think when I cover around the country, it's getting harder for schools to keep their homegrown talent at home because you have social media, you have agents getting involved, you have NIL involved, you have NIL involved even from the standpoint of kids being able to get their visits paid for. You have kids recruiting each other. It's not this thing before. When I first started following recruiting, you would look at a recruiting list, and most of the time, the top local kids picked the local in-state college. There wasn't a lot of mystery to that. And I think, especially in smaller states, you look at what happened in Minnesota when the guys like Jayshon Cornell and Frank Ragnow and Chantrell Henderson and those names were coming out, they were leaving the state. It kind of mirrored in other states where Missouri was having a hard time keeping St. Louis kids at home. Even Wisconsin, who had traditionally put a fence around the state, those kids started looking at other schools more. So in this day and age, for Minnesota to be able to flip that, some of that is just pure dogged determination on PJ's part, right? Of just like, I am making it an emphasis to keep these kids at home. And then I'm going to go out and I'm going to put that into practice. And that is priority number one. But when you look at the opportunities that Coy Parrish had to leave, Emmanuel Carmel had to leave, Roman Voss had to leave. And this is even following those guys committing to Minnesota. Minnesota had to not only get their commitment, but hold on to it. I think they've done a fantastic job with that.
And with this next question leads us to the state of Wisconsin, where the Gophers have two of the top five players in the state of Wisconsin committed, and Gavin Meyer, Lamont Hamilton. But you even look at a place like Wisconsin right now, where I'm looking at what we have in terms of the top five rated kids in the state. They're going to Iowa, Minnesota, Minnesota, Indiana, Indiana. And that used to be a state historically that the top kids in Wisconsin always went to Madison. So when you have talked to other coaches around, or even you've talked to the Badger staff, when you see what's even happening in this 2026 recruiting class just across the border, what's your reaction?
Yeah, I would even reference Michigan, too, until they flipped Tommy Carr, who is a double legacy recruit. They had zero kids from the state of Michigan.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and it just shakes out that way. Wisconsin, I know that, you know, this is a problem I think a lot of schools run into is at Wisconsin, the high school coaches in the state want this staff to emphasize recruiting in-state more. And I've covered this long enough to know that high school coaches have been up in arms about that since the start of recruiting. Yeah. And sometimes they have a point. Sometimes they're just complaining to complain, right? Sometimes it's like they don't understand that not any kid that can walk and chew bubble gum inside a state needs to go play for the state school. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some of that. I do think Wisconsin needs to try to pick that up. Now, when you're a new staff who comes in, you're going to recruit to where your ties are. And that staff had a lot of Ohio ties. They had ties in Michigan. They had some ties in Illinois, and they recruited those states. I think they're starting to get the lay of the land in Wisconsin. They've offered more kids in 27 and 28. And I think, you know, they've just made some decisions that there were some in-state kids who can go play at other places that didn't fit what they were looking for. You've seen that in the state of Minnesota at times where there's guys that it seems like, well, why isn't Minnesota recruiting this guy? And the answer is they didn't think he was as good as everyone else did. And I think that's sometimes that's happening. So I would expect Wisconsin, though, to pick this up. And especially in that state where traditionally Wisconsin's also taken a lot of walk-ons from that state. That's what the high school coaches want is like take a vested interest in our kids. I suspect you will see an uptick in that come 27 and 28.
Well, if there's any high school coaches listening to this or any trainers listening to this, I think the next statement from our friend here, Carl Reed, that he tweeted out a couple weeks ago still remains true to me, where all high school coaches and trainers don't think the state school offers enough of their kids. But in that same breath, the trainers don't think the high school coaches can coach and the high school coaches don't think the trainers can train. So it's a very complex type of deal, but we don't have enough time for that today. But what I do want to get your thoughts on are those two kids, Gavin Meyer, an offensive lineman from the state of Wisconsin, there just outside of Madison and Janesville, where the Gophers do have two starting offensive linemen, and Ashton Beers, a multi-year starter and now center and guard. And then Nathan Roy, who is the former number one player in the state of Wisconsin, former top lineman. Gavin Meyer, currently the top lineman in the state of Wisconsin. I know back in the spring when he committed, it was a little bit of a surprise to you and me, especially because we both know that he was a priority for Wisconsin, remained that way all the way until he signed on the dotted line. But Gavin Meyer is someone that, to me, has a lot of flexibility from anywhere on the line, but the hope would be, Alan, he can stick a tackle.
Yep, and I think when you look at what he did, would make a really good bookend combo with Andrew Trout. And he's been on the radar for a while. He's kind of always had the frame, the size, the ability. I think when I watched him as a senior, there was noticeable improvement. And that's from the standpoint of some of the things we talked about earlier in terms of his ability to move and be explosive. He's obviously added weight and strength, but you have to still be able to get off the ball when you do that. And you watch this guy run block. You watch him explode off the ball. Really, really good player. He's an 88. So that's, you know, some people go, oh, he's just a 3-star. I think I'm also here to tell you that 88 is really like, it's like a 3.8 star, if you think about it that way. So he's right on that verge. If he had become if they had made him a 90, I wouldn't have blinked. So I think he's definitely one of the better players in this class. And earlier when I said Brian Callahan should be smiling about this class, not just because of Andrew Trout, Gavin Meyer, great win. Like you said, thought he was Wisconsin bound, and Minnesota goes in upset and pulls a little bit of an upset and gets their, you know, if two of the best players in your class are your two offensive tackles, I think most schools will take that.
And we talked a little bit earlier about Minnesota staff going back through senior evaluations, because I think one of the things that's been put to me by the Gopher staff is, first of all, I don't know how in this day and age preferred walk-ons are still being talked about as a thing, because the way I understand preferred walk-ons now is with NIL, I mean, what are they? It's essentially a scholarship, but the collective or the house money, whatever the combination is going to be paying for their room, their board, their books, and maybe, you know, a little extra on top. I think you've heard the same with these preferred walk-ons. And I think one of those, not necessarily one of those types of cases, but one of those where you get back into senior evaluations is Lamont Hamilton, where the Gophers offered him back in January when Nick Monroe went through the school. Things really went quiet for him on that front. Now, again, he's a dual sport athlete, also has Division I basketball offers. But then they circle back around on what is, I think, one of the best dual side of the ball guys in the state of Wisconsin. I expect him to be a defensive back for the Gophers. But when you see Lamont Hamilton's recruitment and you see his senior tape, what stands out?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a blast from the past. Like you said, he was offered early. We almost kind of forgot about him for a little bit, and then he popped back on the radar. But then when we watched the senior tape, I think it was, easy to see why Minnesota circled back. Just a good athlete. And when you can take these kind of guys and I think put them in your secondary, it makes a lot of sense. I think he's a guy who can project to more than one spot. Do you know exactly, I don't know, what the plan is? I mean, he looks like he could play corner, nickel, safety, can kind of.
Yes is the answer to that. Yeah. Yes is the answer to corner, nickel, safety. Get him here, figure it out.
Yep. So I think you got to take those kind of athletes, especially now, as you mentioned, with the roster limit going up. You know, Minnesota's got 31 guys in this class. And so as you fill out this class, I think you just take the best and most versatile athletes you can get. And this guy certainly fits that mold.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about more of this 31-man recruiting class for your Golden Gophers.
Ryan, once again, we need to talk about our partners at Blue Horizon Energy. And we talked about previously that, honestly, energy prices are just growing rapidly. They're growing faster than the rate of inflation. If you look at their projections going into 2030, that the increase could be anywhere between 28 and 46%. It could be between 15, almost 16 cents to 18 cents. That's more than triple the cost in 2003. Ryan, the only way that you could get ahead of this if you're a grower or a business operator is to invest in renewable energies like solar array panels, like what Blue Horizon Energy installs.
Look, I know we have a lot of listeners on this podcast, and we love each and every one of you, but we know there's plenty of you in the ag community or in the commercial businesses. And energy, as Luke said, is only going up. So where can people go if they're trying to find a way to lower their cost, Luke?
If you want to learn more about ways to be able to save on those rising energy costs, go to bluehorizonenergy.com/gridiron, fill out the form, and they will get in touch with you. Again, that is bluehorizonenergy.com/gridiron.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
All right. So the next guy I want to get your thoughts on is, well, there's going to be two specifically. We talked about earlier how Roman Voss is a guy on offense who could see time as a true freshman. I know not necessarily both of these guys are within your purview as Midwest recruitings are, but two guys that I think will add something potentially as true freshmen are to me Braden Stevens from Black County, Missouri, a receiver who Minnesota flipped from, I guess, technically South Dakota State, but he reopened his recruitment. Nebraska was heavily involved in over Virginia Tech with James Franklin was involved all the way until the very end. And then Ryan Estrada, a tailback from the state of Texas, who The Gophers legitimately beat out back in June and then hung on all the way into the very end, places like Michigan and Bama for. The one thing everyone listening to this, and I agree with, Alan, is that the Gopher offense needs to become more explosive. Well, if you're going to become more explosive, you better get faster. And I look at someone like Braden Stevens with a 10.3 100-meter time. I look at someone like Ryan Estrada, who just eviscerated 5A Texas football. And all he does, he's a walking explosive play. So when you think about guys like Stevens and Estrada, do you agree that speed can kill? And how do you see them kind of fitting in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think absolutely explosive plays. And, you know, you have to defend teams differently when they have guys who can score from anywhere on the field and guys and multiple guys. And so, you know, you look at Braden Stevens. Is he a prototype size-wise? No. Can you take five Braden Stevenses in your recruiting class? Probably not. But can you take one and a guy who can run this well? And sometimes you look at a guy and they have fast track times and it doesn't translate to the football field. I think when you look at what this guy does in the open field, both after he touches the ball on offense and as a return man, when you look at, he's not just running by guys. He shows some wiggle. He shows some ability to break tackles. He actually makes a few contested catches for a guy who's not the biggest guy. I mean, the guy is a football player who has really fast track times. And so, and then for me, Ryan Estrada, if you're looking around the conference and you're betting on around the entire Big Ten, not just Minnesota's class, of like, who are the higher three stars that may end up coming back around and having really good careers and maybe getting drafted? I think he's one of the top on the list. You just don't put up those numbers in the state of Texas. You don't really put up those numbers anywhere without being a really good football player. But you watch the tape, and it's a guy who, like I said, can score from anywhere on the field, not just a guy who's running by people, but has some wiggle, has some tackle-breaking ability. I think the Minnesota offense certainly got a couple of nice new toys there with those two.
Yeah, one of the things we also get asked about all the time is arguably my least favorite thing is, well, Ryan, what's your comp? Because comps are so difficult. And if you comp somebody to XYZ guy, then everybody immediately assumes that's going to be the progression for the recruit, for the player, and that's how it's going to go. Now, for someone like Braden Stevens, if he can be Minnesota's version of Caden Wheatgen, again, a name I think a lot of Gopher fans are familiar with, the return czar himself down there at Iowa, someone who's also great in the jet sweep game, slot game, get him into space, bubble screens, tunnel screens. We know that Greg Harbaugh loves to go to those. Speed can kill there. And then for Ryan Estrada, for me, here's a name that I know that you're not prepared to discuss. Ready?
Right.
If I think Ryan Estrada is going to be the player that Berkeley Edwards was dreamed of to be back in the day when the Gophers signed him 10-something years ago. What do you think about that one?
Berkeley Edwards. Know the family well, and I covered Burke. I don't know that I remember him well enough to tell you if this is a good comp or not.
Well, Berkeley was more of a north-south guy, but the speed was the calling card. And I remember talking him back when that Gopher staff was here that, I mean, they were dreaming about the speed, dreaming about the speed. I think if you're thinking about Ryan Estrada is just walking outside zone 40, 50, 60-yard touchdowns, which is a skill set that the Gophers don't currently have on their roster. So when you look at this offense next year for Drake Lindsey, Greg Harbaugh, trying to become more explosive, that's where guys like Roman Voss, Ryan Estrada, and Braden Stevens can help you. Now, I want to kick it over to you for maybe one of the most, I'll say, undervalued players in this class that we were even texting about earlier this week with someone like Jeremiah Benson from your state of Michigan, where I know the Iowa Hawkeyes have been long interested there. He had a big senior season for Wes Bloomfield. What is it about Jeremiah Benson that back in, I think it was May, he committed to Northern Illinois, reopened it, Minnesota, Iowa, other schools get involved. But what about his skill set intrigues you?
So I'm in a camp probably about this time last year, and I don't think he had many offers at the time. He actually was a center recruit at the time, which I think slowed him down a little bit because Centers just don't get recruited as much, and size-wise, you know, he wasn't as big as some of the other offensive linemen. Then he goes to this camp and plays three tech, and was really tough to deal with. Very athletic kid, explosive, athletic. Even watched him in some 7-on-7, kind of drop into coverage a little bit, run some routes, just even to be out there in 7-on-7 with his team, showed his athleticism. And then I think he really took to the defensive side of the ball. So he was a convert from offense, played some end, and then started to kick down to tackle. And I think that's when schools really started to come after him more. And it's just because the tackles are really hard to find, and especially guys who can be disruptive like him and Howie Johnson. So I think Minnesota got in on him at a good time. Some schools, some Power Four schools kicked the tires on him late during his senior year, and he stuck with Minnesota, and I think is going to be, to me, he's one of the guys in this class who you look towards the bottom of the list and it's like, well, he probably shouldn't be down there. I think he should be more towards the top of the class.
Now, one of the guys that has been elevated to the top of the class following one of the most disruptive, at least statistically, senior years you'll ever see from an edge player is Aiden H., a kid from Jefferson, Lafayette, Indiana there. Someone that, again, was committed to Northern Illinois. So the Gophers have just pillaged the Northern Illinois defensive line class back prior to the summer. But then he goes out and is just terrorizing quarterbacks, constantly living in the backfield. When you look at the development that H had from his junior to senior years, how would you kind of dive into it?
Yeah, I would say that he really kind of rounded into form and developed a lot, because he was a good athlete, a good player, and had a lot of tools, kind of this big wingspan, could bend the corner, do all the things you needed him to do, but just hadn't put it together quite in the same way that he did as a senior. Then he goes and he's just like you said, one of the most disruptive players in the entire Midwest. Had a chance to kind of turn on not just the highlight tape, but some full games and just see what he does on a down to down basis. And you want to talk about motor, you want to talk about quickness, the ability to pursue, run plays down, like just a guy who was all over the field. And in every game, he was consistently one of the best players in the state of Indiana. And that's why you saw, I think, all the services went, boy, we got to readjust this. And he got some big bumps after his senior year. One of the more, I think, easy, obvious layup type four-star bumps of any kid in the Big Ten.
Now, another kid that saw his recruitment take off, I would say later in the process, would be Becca Treiber, someone who committed to Washington State over the summer. And then as these Big Ten schools were going through their evaluations, one of my favorite stories to tell is I'm flying back in from a wedding, and it's 7 a.m. at the MSP terminal. You've been there. You frequent the Minneapolis airport quite a bit. And I'm coming down off the escalator, and there is me coming down, and then I look up, and I'm like, that looks like Luke Fickell. And it happens to be Becca Treiber and his father getting into a University of Minnesota vehicle because they're going to be on their official visit. We're the only three people in the airport that Saturday morning before Rutgers. But that was my introduction into Becca Treiber, who the Gophers end up offering. The number two team in the country now, the Indiana Hoosiers, get involved. They offer host him on an official visit. And then he ultimately ends up deciding that he wants to make the drive on 94 up to the Twin Cities. But for someone like Becca Treiber, he's got good film on defense, where I think if that doesn't work on offense, I think a potentially future at defensive tackles within his future. But Becca Treiber, your thoughts?
Yeah, but then, you know, another thing there is, like you said, was committed to Washington State. I have a lot of respect for the way that staff does things. I think they do a really good job in evaluation. And
well, you only say that because you're wearing a Jimmy Rogers hat as I stare at you into those beautiful brown eyes of yours.
This isn't on camera, right?
No.
But like you said, really good two-way player, good athlete. You know, he's one of those guys who did put out some video in the summer. I had a chance to watch him do some explosive stuff. He kind of put together his own combine video, and we thought, oh, that looks pretty good. I think the other part of when you look at a take like this is, yes, really like the player, also really like the fit. We talked earlier about having your two bookends. If this guy is your guard next to one of those big tackles, either Gavin Meyer or Andrew Trout, I think you're looking pretty good there. So in this class, you've got multiple guys who can play multiple positions on the offensive line and all bring an athletic skill set to the table. I think this common denominator amongst those guys is they can all move.
Now, I'll remind people, we are almost an hour into this, and it's a 31-man class. It's going to be over 30 guys, and we can't talk about each and every one of them. I know I wish we could, but we don't have enough time in the day. So I do want to say we're an hour in, and we haven't even talked about the quarterback spot yet, where Drake Lindsey now finishes his redshirt freshman season. Year one as the starter, completes over 63% of his balls, 20 total touchdowns, just 6 turnovers. But what is life after him? Well, the Gophers got an early commitment from your guy, Downers Grove North's own Owen Lansu, who we've known now for a very long time. I've seen him throw with my own two eyes. Doesn't have maybe the senior year that he thought he was going to have, both injury related and then just never really clicked consistently for him. Now, the Gophers did elect to add someone that Greg Harbaugh, back when they were going through the evaluation process 18 months ago, because if there is one position across college football and Minnesota is in the same bucket that you try to be early on, it is the quarterback spot, where 18 months ago, Greg Harbaugh flies out to California, watches a kid from San Diego, and I think it's Cathedral Catholic High School, by the name of Brady Palmer, who blows up with offers from everywhere. Chip Kelly at Ohio State had offered him. Ultimately ends up deciding to go to Cal Berkeley, commits there, reopens things once the Justin Wilcox news comes involved, and then commits to Minnesota as a San Diego kid in the middle of a snowstorm over the weekend. So that's how you know he wants to be here. But with Owen Lansu, Brady Palmer, two very different skill sets to me, maybe similar in size, but one's more of a pocket passer and one possesses a little bit more athleticism and you can move the pocket with, to me.
Yeah, and like you said, Owen struggled with some injuries. I thought came back towards the end of the season and was really strong, though. I mean, first game back, they beat Elmhurst York, and he throws 388 yards and 4 touchdowns in that game. So he kind of showed the confidence that Minnesota took him so early, because, you know, the point at which they accepted his commitment, certainly didn't have to do that. A lot of quarterbacks still on the board at that point. And they felt really good about him being the guy in that class. And I think, so that's one of the best things I can say about him, too, is that the staff felt really strongly about Owen Lansu at the time they offered him and took his commitment. And he showed why they have that confidence in him towards the back end of his senior year. And he was really good as a junior. I think just struggled with some of those injuries and things as a senior. But it was good to see him get back out there late in the season and kind of turn it back around. Then you have Brady Palmer come in. So like you said, two different skill sets. That's a position where, you know, you like to have some options. A lot of schools don't always take two quarterbacks, but I think in this case, you have guys who are different enough. And PJ's always created this culture of competition, and that's what you're going to have in that quarterback room.
31-man recruiting class. If you want more details on every one of these guys, gopherillustrated.com. But two defensive backs, Midwest guys, that the Gophers ended up taking one earlier in the process, Jordan Lampkins. I know you were at one of his games from Bowling Brook High School there in Illinois. And then a guy they just flipped here over the weekend from North Dakota, from Waukee, Iowa, Tavian White. Both, I think, are probably going to be safeties here at the University of Minnesota. What do you like about Lampkins? What do you like about White?
Yeah, so Lampkins, I think, can play, will be a safety as well, but can come down over the slot. Play a little man-to-man, saw him do that at Bowling Brook. Just seemed like a very smart, instinctive player, very much a quarterback back there in the secondary, a guy who was kind of making calls and making sure his teammates were lined up, and a guy who kind of can just do a little bit of everything all around. And then in Tavian, you have a guy with a pretty serious track background. You get back to that multi-sport thing, can really, really run. And so I think when you talk about towards the end of the cycle, filling out the class, trying to get to your 105, you just bring in the best athletes you can. And when you have a guy there in Iowa, kudos to North Dakota for picking this guy up, who has that kind of speed and explosiveness. I think Minnesota just, you get, again, well, the same thing we said about Lamont Hamilton. You take all the best athletes you can find, especially back there in the secondary, and you coach those guys up.
No, I want to give you the floor here where we've talked about a lot of guys. And before I get to some questions to get us out of here, are there any guys we haven't talked about that you're like, well, I really think that down the line here, a year or two, we're going to be talking a lot more about them?
Gabe Weaver. If that guy ends up being a good player at Minnesota and here's his name called in 4 years, I wouldn't be overly surprised. Length, big hands, very athletic. I think he's got to learn to play true tight end. He's really a big receiver at the high school level, but I think that guy's got some real physical talent.
All right. If you're going to ask me, I'll give you one on offense, one on defense, neither from your Midwest territory, but I'll say a guy like Quade Hendricks, who the Gophers were able to get from Jim Mora's UConn class, where, again, they beat out Nebraska for speed, ball tracking, is able to go up and attack the football for a guy who's not the biggest in the world, only 5'11", 5'10". But you look at what he did in the New Jersey State Championship game, just dominates it, just like he had all season coming back from an injury in junior year. To me, that is a skill set that separation, speed, and ball tracking that Minnesota's receiving core can use. And then on the defensive side, I mean, I got to give Mariano Soria-Marin his credit because he gets two guys with offer lists, an Angel Luciano plus Hudson Dunn, who can give you very different things. I think Hudson Dunn to me is much more in the Emmanuel Carmo type of role where he's a pass rusher on pass rushing downs. On early downs, you can play him at Mike or Will, whereas Luciano is kind of your throwback Big Ten linebacker who will smack you in the mouth and then let you know about it afterwards. But both of them had gaudy offer lists. So I think for Mariano to come in his first year as a position coach, be able to land those two guys, I think is a big recruiting boon for Minnesota. Now, I do have some questions for you from the Gopher Illustrated members. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's start out with one where I don't know that we've really even talked shop about the Gophers 2025 season. I don't know how much of it you watched. Again, I know the listeners were able to look at it through a microscope. You can provide more of a national 30,000 foot view, but the Gophers end up going 7-5. And there's a lot of ups and downs in between there. So when you viewed kind of Minnesota season as a whole, what comes to mind?
Yeah, so I only got to watch so much Minnesota football this year.
It would cut into your Pittsburgh Steelers practice watch because you are the Pittsburgh Steelers Bobo who loves to go 9-8 every year with former Vikings legend Mike Tomlin.
Gosh, based on the way their season's going right now, I might take 9-8. Actually, the way things are going at the moment, but you know, I think this is the way it is in the Big Ten now. A school like Minnesota, you're always going to be a couple of plays away from being 9 wins, 7 wins, 6 wins. I thought the same thing when I watched, a school like Iowa, for instance, wins 8 games and a lot of close calls. So, I can't say I have super in-depth analysis on Minnesota that you probably haven't given or that the board doesn't already know. So, sure.
All right, that works. I would tell you another question I got was just thinking about the upper Midwest. Are there some states here where the number of quality high school recruits is improving, declining? Is it mostly steady compared to, say, 5 to 10 years ago? Or how do you view it?
So I think it's easy for me to say because I'm in Michigan, but I do think that the number of recruits in Michigan has gone up. And I think that some of that is that there's a lot of programs here now, a lot more training opportunities, a lot more indoor facilities being built that give kids that opportunity in the wintertime and a lot of emphasis on that. I mean, there's a nice little run going on in the Dakotas right now, don't you think? I mean,
yeah. And I know that Tim Polasek and formerly Jimmy Rogers, and we can talk about Eric Schmidt. They're not too keen that more and more schools are coming into the Dakotas, that more and that these Dakota kids are now having the ability to put their film and that it's easily accessible for anyone. But
yep.
I would agree with that take. Yes.
And it was probably too many years of schools watching the NFL draft and going, man, another one from there. Like we got to start going over there and looking at those guys, but they keep churning out. And you always thought of it as a place that, only had offensive linemen, but that's not the case anymore. There's a little bit of everything coming out of the Dakota. So we're definitely paying attention a lot more. Maybe I'll have to find my way to Fargo and Pierre and some of these places before too long. But I think, yeah, Michigan, the Dakotas, those states have, or those places I think have gone up in the, maybe not necessarily the amount of talent, but certainly the amount of outside coaches that are coming into those states is a lot more than it used to be.
All right. Another question for you that we kind of already answered, but I want to be explicit when I ask you this, who is the most underrated Midwest recruit in Minnesota's class, AKA a guy you're standing on the table for?
Okay. I think the most underrated has to be Benson, just because he's down towards the bottom of the class. And as I said earlier, he's not one that I would have as, I think he's the second lowest guy in the class. Gabe Weaver's probably the one I'm most standing on the table for. Is like, if I had to pick up a 3-star Midwest guy in the class that I think could most hear his name called in the draft, I would say it's Gabe Weaver.
Now, this question wasn't directed at me, but I will give you my non-Midwest answer and my Midwest answer. I think Trayson Richardson from Fort Bend Crawford, someone that the Gophers saw at a satellite camp, got committed. I love that kid's senior tape, man. And he's still playing down there in the state of Texas. Like, that is a high school that I don't think has traditionally had a lot of success. Part of why they're having success is Richardson is playing at a very high level. I am very surprised that places like TCU or Texas Tech or Baylor even have not come in on that kid. And I know that Minnesota feels the same way about Trayson Richardson. But here in the Midwest, I already talked and waxed poetically about Andrew Trout, but I also think Gavin Meyer just, I know he's not a 4-star, but the clay is there that if it clicks, we're talking 3-year starter somewhere along the offensive line with his size, frame, and athleticism. Now, I got two final questions for you. And they're both a little, I'll say, sillier in nature. You often use the word whimsical to me. And again, I don't pretend to have that in my vernacular. I'm not the man you are. But Alan, if you were a hot dog and you were starving to death, would you eat yourself?
This is getting into deep.
This is high level stuff, people. High level stuff.
I have come from a family of Eastern philosophy, and so this is. I know that many a monk atop the mountains in the Himalayas have sat and pondered this very question. And if I was a hot dog and I was hungry, no, I would allow myself to exist still, and I would find ways to channel my hunger and train my mind to not feel that hunger any longer.
Okay. Now, the last thing I'm going to ask you to feel before we get all of our people out of their cars or out of the gym or done snow blowing, whatever it may be, is you and I have spent a lot of time together, both in person, on the phone, virtually over our time together, and especially in person. I've done some things over the years where I know you've looked at me and been like, what in tomfoolery are you doing here? So I want to give you the opportunity to roast me, where I know we give you this opportunity each and every season where you are the stand-up comedian. And if people want to find your stuff, where can they find your stuff as Mr. Stand-up Comedian Guy?
So I need to record some new stuff. And so don't just wait for that is what I'll say. Don't go look up the old stuff. But, you know, I'm going to roast you, but people can't see you right now. So they can't see that you have like a wilderness beanie that you've sort of bunched up back towards the back of your head. Like,
it's a big head too.
It is, but it's also like a very young man style and Burns. Like you're starting to, at what point in your 30s do you stop wearing a beanie that way? And you have a You have a plaid flannel shirt on, like you're going to be playing bass in an indie band at my local brewery this weekend. That's what you look like. Now you put it, now I bullied you into putting your hat back on straight, which just tells everybody how soft you are that I just had to make one comment to get you to straighten your hat back up. Guy can take sitting in the tree stand for 48 hours in the cold, but I can't make one little joke about his hat.
I'm just glad, you know, I almost wore to this virtual meeting my my shirt that I wore to Big Ten Media Days a couple of years ago, where, look, I still feel confident in that shirt. You know, I'm a 6'4" strapping young lad, maybe not as young as I used to be, but I know you certainly have.
As young as we used to be.
Yeah, I mean, that father time is undefeated, but yeah, it's we've had some times together over the years. So
we have had some times together, and I hope you still wear that shirt.
I do.
Good. I'm glad. I don't ever want to. The thing that my friends all say about me is like, if I'm not roasting you, that's when there's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. I actually do roast the people that I like the most, and that I know can take it, and that's how I build connection because of my childhood. That's how I know how to build connection with people. So if I'm not roasting you, that's really, I don't roast the people I don't like. So that's a compliment to you, Ryan Burns.
Well, I'm so blessed and highly favored to hear something like that. My life is just one giant bit of being roasted for something I did, something I said, something I wore. And at my young, spry age of 33, nothing is bigger than the bit. I would tell you, I am currently dressed like everything I hate. Which is, you don't know, again, this is going to be a reference that for you is going to fall on deaf ears, but there's a radio station here in the Twin Cities called 89.3 The Current, and it plays all this obscure indie stuff, and my wife loves to listen to it. And one of my favorite bits is looking at who's playing, and then it's like, I cannot even express to you. It's like the Great Oranges with their song Pontification here on The Current. And I get so upset. Then I have a text thread with multiple people where I'll just take screenshots of like Johnny Sins and the Sonny's and the Summer Surprises. And I just am like, what am I even listening to at this point? Where I am dressed like every indie hipster Patagonia faked outdoor guy. So yeah, I can look in the mirror and say that.
You would. You look like a guy who would have an acoustic guitar and be doing a Cranberries cover on YouTube.
All right. We've gone completely off the rails. Alan, I appreciate you giving us over an hour of your time here right before National Signing Day. As always, you'll be on the Gopher Illustrated message boards roasting me, giving insight, heading now into the 2027 recruiting class. But I'm always someone where National Signing Day for me, I'm excited to put this thing to bed and let these kids go on with the rest of their life. Because just like you, we are grown men talking about 17 to 23-year-old boys, and we talk to them. And there are 40-year-old men asking us about them. It's one of the strangest professions in the world where if I give no further context, I'm going to be added to a NSA list, I'm sure, certainly. But thank you for coming on the podcast once again.
Of course. And you know what's great about this now is with the transfer portal, we don't get to unfollow these guys the day after signing day anymore. So that's even better. No, appreciate having you on, man. Always great working with you. I'll be on BTN again too, and we're going to talk plenty of Gophers on there Wednesday at 1, so tune in for that, and then nobody bother me for 48 hours.
Yeah, I can't wait to not be bothered at some point. But all right, thank you everyone. We will be back next week to talk about the bowl game, some other different things. Hopefully some of these Gophers will be re-signing with the House Settlement NIL Collective. Thanks for listening, and go Gophers.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.